Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, as we continue to talk about this Week 3 Packers-Lions matchup, you take a look at the injury report from the first practices of the week, and a couple of pretty banged-up teams here. Now, we don't know necessarily the status of everybody come Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field, but starting with Green Bay, boy, you have four defensive starters, Clay Matthews, Sam Shields, Morgan Burnett, and LaTroy Guyon, not practicing. A fifth rotational regular in the defensive rotation in Dayton Jones, also not practicing with an injury. The Packers are a little banged up here.
They are. I think it goes 10 deep right now, 11 if you count me with my cold. So it's been a really difficult first few weeks for the season, not only in Green Bay, but in the NFL in general. I had a conversation with a friend of mine about this last night. I mean, it just seems like across the league, a lot of banged up teams. Certainly you look at Detroit. I saw the first tweets out from the beat writers right after practice yesterday saying, yep, the list of all the healthy linebackers, and it's two.
Yeah.
Everybody else is dealing with something for Detroit. So it's how things are in the NFL. You have to play through things, and certainly other things. We'll have to see what the long-term implications are. But certainly, you know, for the third game of the season, a pretty lengthy report on both teams.
Yeah, well, the good news for the Packers, a few guys came back to practice on Wednesday for their first actual regular practice action of the regular season. Chris Banjo, Jayrone Elliott, and rookie cornerback Josh Hawkins. So some of that depth that the Packers didn't have the first couple of games starting to get healthy. Certainly Banjo, if Morgan Burnett's groin injury is an issue, having Banjo there in the mix at the depth will be good. And Jayrone Elliott, you know, we've been waiting to see what he might do in his third year as a pass rusher. And as I say, we don't necessarily know the status of Clay Matthews come Sunday, but maybe a guy like Elliott could step in and make something happen.
Well, certainly, I think something that's been proven in the first 2 weeks of the season is the Packers are going to use all their outside linebackers. We've seen Kyler Fackrell get some rotations as well, and certainly I thought he played pretty well with the reps that he received. Julius Peppers, they have a plan for him. Hasn't been used as much as he has in the past, but yet you saw that kind of come out a little bit and what he can do on a limited workload against the Vikings. And certainly Jayrone Elliott's a guy that's proven in the past that he has a knack for pass rushing. I know it wasn't the preseason that he wanted, but at the same time, we're not talking about an undrafted rookie anymore. We're talking about a third-year veteran. So everybody knows what Jayrone Elliott can bring to the table, and particularly on special teams, I think is probably going to give Ron Zook a much-needed veteran on those groups, because for these first couple of weeks, your three top special teams players, Banjo, Jeff Janis, and Elliott, all have been dealing with some kind of injury, with Janis having the club
right
on his hands. So this I think, will help out Ron Zook's units for sure, and maybe also give Dom Capers' group some help as well.
Yeah, now if Morgan Burnett has to miss some time, obviously the Packers have their nickel, their dime, lots of different sub-packages, the way they move guys around in the secondary. What's your feeling on how the Packers line up, say, in the base and the dime? If Burnett is out, is Micah Hyde the first guy to step in there next to HaHa Clinton Dix in the back end?
It depends. It depends on where they need him, because if you don't have Sam Shields either, well, then suddenly you probably really need Hyde in either that star or that second dime cornerback position.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where you see Banjo coming in on the back end. They've had to run through all their defensive backs for keeping whatever it was, 11 defensive backs on the roster going into the season. They've had to got a lot of guys in there so far, with Kentrell Bryce, the undrafted rookie out of Louisiana Tech, even seeing some playing time the first couple weeks. So that's going to be, as much as I think the secondary still is really one of the strengths of this team, it's going to be a big stress if they lose Shields and Burnett. I mean, those are your two most veteran guys, and in Burnett's case, a guy that can play multiple positions for you in the defense.
Yeah, for sure. Looking up front, LaTroy Guyon, he's been a big part of the fact that the Packers lead the league in rushing defense through 2 weeks. Again, we don't really know for sure what his status will be come Sunday, but we saw Kenny Clark step in, the rookie from UCLA, played some quality snaps against Minnesota in clamping down on Peterson, batted down a pass at the line of scrimmage. Kenny Clark ready to maybe take on a larger role if he's called upon on Sunday?
I was talking with Kenny Clark last week leading up to the game against the Vikings, and when mentioning the atmosphere and, you know, potentially need to play more, He said he had to put his big boy pads on, and he certainly did that in Minnesota when LaTroy Guyon left, I think after what it was, 8 or 9 snaps. This is a young man I thought that really made a big jump from week 1 to week 2 and what he did on the field. You can see his just brute strength. I thought it was more impactful in the interior of that defensive line and really stepped up at a position that the Packers needed somebody to. As good as Mike Daniels is, he's only one guy. They need those youngsters to really step up when they don't have Mike Pinnell and now if they're going to miss LaTroy Guyon. And I thought Kenny Clark, for being whatever it was, the youngest player in 80 years to suit up for the Packers defense, he still showed why the Packers took him in the first round and exactly how high his ceiling is, I thought, in that game against the Vikings.
Yeah, and I talked to Clark on Wednesday in the locker room for, a story for Packers.com, and the interesting comment that he said was the difference between week 1 and week 2 is in week 1 he kind of got into the game and kind of started to try to get going or get revved up, and he realized that doesn't work at this level.
Yeah.
He, in week 2 against Minnesota, when he got in the game, he was ready to go. Like, this is full speed right away from the first snap, and you could see that it made a difference. So, we've got other injuries to talk about on the Detroit side of the ball after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, turning our attention to the injury report on the Detroit side of things, they're a little banged up on defense as well. You mentioned in the last segment that they basically were getting through Wednesday's practice with only 2 healthy linebackers. DeAndre Levy missed practice at linebacker, Kyle Van Noy, Antoine Williams, 3 linebackers who all missed practice. The name that jumps out at me the most as far as the Lions' defensive situation is Levy. There have been games, Packers-Lions games in recent years, where I thought Levy was maybe the best player on the field.
Yeah.
He really, really impactful. And this is a guy, you know, from Milwaukee originally, played for the Wisconsin Badgers in college, was a solid Big Ten player. I don't know if anybody necessarily envisioned the high-impact player he'd become in the NFL. To his credit, he's become a really, really good defender in this league, and I think when he's not in there, the Detroit Lions miss him on defense.
I've gone back, and I've said this numerous times with Martin Mayhew. I still think the Lions had no other option than to let Sue go in free agency a year ago, and certainly that hurt their defense. But I'd make the argument that not having Levy was the biggest issue that defense had last season.
I would agree.
And I really think that he's the guy that really stirs the drink for them. I mean, it's just, he, as you said, I don't know if people envisioned him coming to the league and being the type of linebacker he's been, but they are a different defense when he's on the field. And I this is a guy, and we'll have to see exactly how the week shuffles out, who's available, who's not. But that was the biggest thing. I mean, you see Ziggy Ansah on there, you see Eric Ebron. But Levy being on that list and obviously missing last week's game, this is a guy I think that the Lions need to have on the field. And if he isn't, that's certainly, I think, going to be one area I would have to imagine Aaron Rodgers and that Packers offense is going to be targeting.
Yeah, you'd have to think so. Just in watching Levy in recent years against the Packers, he's impactful against the run. He blows up running plays. He can drop into passing lanes and make things difficult for the tight ends and running backs trying to catch the shorter routes. And he can blitz. He can get after the quarterback. He's really a guy that the Lions ask to do just about everything on defense. And when you see that Ziggy Ansah, who is probably their top pass rusher, is also on the injury report, missed practice on Wednesday with an ankle injury. Again, we'll have to see come Friday, Saturday, what the status of these players is. But the Lions are going to have some concerns if they don't have these top-flight guys on the field on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, no doubt. And you can see that the way they've built their team over the last few years, especially with the emphasis they've put on sort of rebuilding that defensive front, you know, in the wake of losing Sue and Nick Fairley and all the other guys and departures they've had. But certainly, I mean, I like the things they've done with their secondary. You know, Aaron Rodgers had a lot of glowing things to say about the progress they've made there. But ultimately, I think, especially with now the Packers talking about how much they want to run the ball, all those guys, both on the defensive line and the linebacking core there, that's going to be probably one of the ultimate really determining factors of this game. And it will be interesting to see exactly who will be on the field on Sunday, because realistically, I think that's one area where the Packers could try to exploit that matchup if the levies of the world aren't there.
Yeah, and when you talk about the Lions secondary, two veterans kind of lead the way in that group, cornerback Darius Slay and then safety Glover Quinn. And you talking to the Packers in the locker room on Wednesday after practice, a lot of praise for Slay, fast cornerback. He's got speed. He's got good hands. He can be tough to beat at the line of scrimmage. Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb both talked about him. There's a lot of respect for him, and it'll be interesting to see just how the Packers go about attacking him or scheming to get some things done with a cornerback of that caliber.
Yeah, no question, Mike. And I thought it was interesting this offseason because I think it was a couple months ago that he'd signed that extension that he worked out with the Lions, and it seemed like there was a lot of hate in terms of people saying, is that guy really worth it? Is he really your franchise shutdown cornerback? But you listen to Aaron Rodgers talk about it. He's one of the few in this league that really has no problem matching a guy side for side, position for position, playing wherever they need him to play. Now, I know in most cases that's what you look for in a shutdown corner, but he does it so effortlessly that I think that's one of the things that has really left an imprint on this Packers offense. And if they decide to put him on a specific guy, he's going to stay there and he's going to be able to hold that assignment all day. So the big thing for the Packers offense, I think, is really being able to spread the ball out. It still isn't the deepest secondary in the NFL, so if they can find matchups that work for them, maybe with those third or fourth receivers, that probably is going to be the key to trying to get in front.
Yeah, I would agree. And we'll talk a little bit more about what Aaron Rodgers had to say at his locker on Wednesday after practice. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, a very interesting media session at Aaron Rodgers' locker after Wednesday's practice. Wednesday is normally the day that Rodgers talks with reporters during the week, and got into a little bit of a discussion. It was very entertaining, actually. There wasn't animosity or anything, don't get me wrong, but an entertaining discussion about really the fact that Rodgers said the guys in the locker room, himself included, they don't really care about what the media has to say or what the critics have to say about where the offense is right now. These guys believe in what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They've done it before. Jordy Nelson echoed that. They've done it before. They have the history of doing it. They believe they're going to get this thing on track sooner than later.
Yeah, I agree. And a really good article by Mike Spofford on Packers.com.
I paid him to say that.
Another paid sponsorship, where he mentions, I thought just a great quote, which is, "I know I've got to play better. I will play better." We're talking about Aaron Rodgers here, and I just found it really interesting how he said, "My confidence doesn't waver. It's never wavered. And even when you go through times of adversity, you have to stay to that core." Everybody in that locker room knows what they need to do better, but it's not that they need to go out and talk about it publicly and say, this guy has to play better, or I got to play better, or we need to do this differently. They know. They know what the assignments are.
Yep.
They know what's happening on any given play. And whatever the outside opinions are of their offense, that isn't who they're ultimately reporting to. They're reporting to Mike McCarthy, Edgar Bennett, Tom Clements, Alex Van Pelt, whoever your coach is. And that's what the Packers are holding to right now, trying to make that next step. I know people want answers. I know they want people to say, yeah, I'm terrible, cut me. But that isn't how the NFL works.
No.
You can't have that kind of attitude because it's a long season and it's about getting better from next week and learning from the past.
Yeah, and I think the thing that we're seeing here, the dichotomy, the difference, if you will, between the way the players feel and the way the fans feel, the fans are looking at this as, we saw these struggles through 2015. You know, things are not getting going, and then it's more of the same at the start of 2016. To the players, the picture is different because to the players, 2016 is brand new. There really isn't that much about 2015 that they're worried about that's part of the picture for them, that every season is a new season. They're starting brand new. Jordy Nelson is back. There's a new tight end. There's a new left guard. There's all of these things that are going to be part of 2016 moving forward, and that's all they're worried about is the moving forward part of it. And this group has all the confidence in the world that it will get going. And I, in fact, I would say I share that confidence, and partly because this team hasn't played a home game yet, and now they have four home games in a row with a bye week sprinkled in. This offense is going to find itself.
And one other thing that Rodgers said that I thought was really telling, if you are looking for reasons why maybe things aren't clicking right now, is timing. Mm-hmm. Timing is so important to the West Coast offense. It's so important to what the Packers do. And that's something that hasn't been there yet, the timing of when guys are breaking off their routes, when the ball's coming out. There's so many different little things that play into that. When you get it going, when you get it clicking, that's when, as Rodgers said, you know, we want to get back to dominating, for sure. But you need to be able to shore those things up, and that's big. That's the biggest thing. He mentioned he's a two-time USA Football Fundamentals, you know, first team or whatever it was.
Yeah, he's got the helmets at home, he said.
So he certainly has the pedigree for that. These receivers know what they're doing. It's all about trying to get on the same page. And that's now going against Detroit, getting back on their own home field. That's what they're going to be looking to achieve on Sunday.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to necessarily be, you know, a glass half full guy, but looking at it in a realistic sense, there were some struggles in week one in Jacksonville, but they still put 27 points on the board on the road. That's not easy to do.
No.
And you look at, for all the things that went wrong in Minnesota, if you're going to hang your hat on one thing coming out of the Vikings game, it's that against a very good defense, after a very rough first half, they put up 198 yards in the second half.
Right.
Now, it didn't translate into enough points, and that's why they didn't win the game. The fourth down stop in the red zone, the two turnovers when they got out near and across midfield there in the fourth quarter, they didn't score enough points. But 198 yards in the second half against a good defense, that's something you can carry with you into the next week, and I think the Packers will.
Yeah, no question, Mike. And if the Packers start finishing off some of these series when they get in the red zone, I think the narrative changes completely. I mean, we focus so much on yardage and things like that. Let's just get down to the bare bones. If they score points, nobody's having this conversation.
Finish drives.
That's something they've preached since day one. If they accomplish that, I think this whole narrative goes away.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Well, before we go to a break, we'll take care of a little sponsor business, Wes. Picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 12th by completing the entry form and submitting for complete rules and eligibility. Go to Packers.com/best seats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, final segment. Let's take a look at a little bit at the NFC North in general. Lots of changes and shuffling around going on potentially early on here in the season. Adrian Peterson's knee injury from the second half on Sunday night against the Packers looks like it could potentially be a serious deal. And the Vikings also putting their starting left tackle, Matt Khalil, on injured reserve with a hip injury. So lots of activity, you might say, amongst the NFC North opponents.
Yeah, this is what you have to love about the NFL. Not people getting hurt, of course, but in terms of even the team that's on top of the North right now, on top of the world, they got questions too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's week three in the NFL. And the starting left tackle, the starting running back, and the starting quarterback, the original starting quarterback for the Vikings, all either off the board for the season or for the foreseeable future. So that's just the way things are. And it's just a reminder to everybody, again, how the picture looks in week two, week three, is not always how it appears at the end of the season. Now, the Vikings very well could end up still having an amazing year.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show you that there's only so much you can draw out of September. A lot of times, it's just about getting to October healthy.
Yeah, every team has its challenges, and those challenges can come up in different forms. Obviously, the challenge for the Vikings is with the injuries and how they're going to navigate this and keep themselves in position to get in the playoffs and make a run like everybody's expecting them to, and they keep taking hits, unfortunately for them. You look at the Chicago Bears. I thought you had a funny line the other day after the Monday night game, when the Bears lost to the Philadelphia Eagles, Jay Cutler is dealing with a thumb injury, and there was a report that, you know, he was going to have surgery and be out for months. And the original report on Adrian Peterson was he might just be day to day. He could play against Carolina. Then 24 hours later, it's the reverse. All of a sudden, Adrian Peterson's out for months and Jay Cutler's just day to day.
Day-to-day. Yeah.
So these things can change so quickly. And I guess I'll just say I think it's going to be a fun year to be following the NFC North.
Yeah, no question. And it always is. I mean, there's so many different storylines that always go with the season. You go back to these last few years where the division title came right down to the last game of the season, with the Packers seeing every team in the division to decide that. So it's always a competitive division and how things shuffle out. I'm just really interested to see which direction it turns now, because, you know, is Adrian Peterson still the face of the rushing, you know, attack in the NFC North? Is, you know, you see all these different injuries happening across the board, and, you know, Sue is out of the, you know, out of the division now. So exactly how will those pieces shuffle out? That's probably going to be how and who sort of claims the throne, so to speak. And yeah. Realistically, as good as it is to be able to get off to a fast start in this division, the black and blue division, you want to be healthy come December.
Yeah, well, and it's funny, too, because you look after 2 weeks, if you were to say the probably the quarterback production-wise that everybody's talking about in the NFC North, it's Stafford for the Lions, right. The start he's gotten off to. And the wide receiver is Stephon Diggs for Minnesota and what he's done in the first couple of weeks. And before the season started, those weren't the two guys that were going to jump off the page at those two positions in terms of generating all the attention. So, and in a few more weeks, we'll probably be talking about completely different guys.
I'm sure of it.
All right, well, we'll call that a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com, on Twitter, at Wes Hodd, at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.